Part 3, meditation. This one is about the second turning, the email compilation, from my email compilation. The meditation is taught by the Buddha, the email number 4, second turning. How to cultivate this second turning wisdom of Cittamaya Panya via inquiry, contemplation, and reflection on the truth as proclaimed by the Buddha. So my answer is, the first turning, the second turning. The first noble truth, second turning. Okay. So now we go direct into the second turning or the first noble truth. The Buddha said, this noble truth or dukkha is to be understood. So how do you reflect? How do you contemplate? And how do you inquire? The first inquiry is, why did the Buddha say this noble truth or dukkha is to be understood? The emphasis is to be understood. Because all the four truths, the Buddha has different emphasis in the second turning. So this first noble truth or dukkha, he said, is to be understood. So we inquire, why did the Buddha say that? You find out, you try, you come, then you read the answer. It is because the Buddha knew we need to inquire, reflect, and contemplate into the truth he had proclaimed, so that we can truly understand what this first noble truth of dukkha or suffering is. This inquiry can allow us to sincerely reflect, contemplate, and inquire deep into this first noble truth of dukkha, to truly understand what dukkha is before we confront it, so that we can be wary of it. This will also enable us not to be caught in dukkha or suffering. We are not knowing that we are already suffering. So a lot of people are caught in suffering without knowing that they are suffering. Especially those depressed people, those people who are already very miserable, full of sorrow, lamentation, anger, hatred, and yet they still don't know that that is suffering. Just to them, the cocoon of thought that make them depressed keep on telling them that this guy did this to me. If it's not because of him, I won't end up like that. He still think that other people make him miserable. But he doesn't know that this is suffering. So his wrong thought continues to proliferate because he lacks mindfulness, he lacks wisdom, he lacks understanding of the true Dhamma. He doesn't know what suffering is. So this aspect is very important. Then the second inquiry is, after I have understood what suffering is, then I will go in and inquire further. How can I develop the understanding of what dukkha is? One can do it via the above reflection, contemplation, and inquiry into the five daily contemplation as recommended by the Buddha, with a very calm and composed mind, filled with faith of sadha, virya, and sati. The first three of the five spiritual faculties, following what we have done during the sutta class. For detail, please refer the recording. Share via webbing as done by Brother Suyan. So you have to go and listen to the retreat sharing. There is a very big MP3 file, I think 16 weeks. They recorded all the retreat sharing and talk. It's very clear. You don't have, you can request from Suyan. Maybe you buy him the, if he got extra, he will give you. Otherwise, you have to buy him a memory stick. Then he will help you to record them. Then second noble truth, second turning. The Buddha emphasis is different again. The Buddha said, this cause of arising of dukkha, which is craving, is to be abandoned. The inquiry is, why did the Buddha say this? That is, craving, which is a cause of one's suffering, is to be abandoned. If craving is not abandoned, you will continue to suffer. True. So if you understand that craving is the cause of one's own suffering, and you have to abandon it, means you really need to work hard to abandon it. And there are five ways to do it. Five ways as taught by the Buddha. The most effective one is the third and fourth way, which are the meditative ways. So this one is very important. If craving is not abandoned, we will continue to suffer. That's why the second turning here is very clear. The cause of arising of dukkha, which is craving, is to be abandoned, and how to abandon the five ways. The question number two, or inquiry number two, is how can I abandon it? To reflect deeply into the Buddha's four right effort, the five daily contemplation as advised by the Buddha, followed by the Dhamma on impermanence, suffering, and anatta, nature of the five aggregates of form and mind. And to use the four right efforts and the five ways as taught by the Buddha to abandon the unwholesome thought and the craving that will condition our unwholesome actions, speech, and thought process. So this one all has been shared. You go through the Heart Sutra notes at the back, appendix 6, I think. You have all the five ways all summarized in the table form. Either appendix 6 or 7, I forgot already. As we all understand, finally only wisdom frees the mind. So to use the fourth way, which is to trace the origination factor, then retrospectively reverse it to develop the wisdom to free. And this is the best way thus far. This fourth way uses heedfulness. To cultivate mindfulness of the six internal and six external sense bases, we are Dhammanupassana. Mindfulness of Dhamma cultivation to trace the origination factor, leading to the wisdom, thereby enabling one to understand clearly how your mind has been tricked into attachment of clinging and craving. And the reactive mode, we are one's self-delusion, because there is no yoniso manasikara or wise attention at the moment of sense experience. So craving born of self-delusion is the cause of all our attachment and clinging to our five aggregates of form and mind that condition our suffering. So you can refer to the 18th of March. Oh, sorry. The sixth lesson of Heart Sutta, part 3, question 1, short note for detail. So they are all there. I think, what is that? 12, stroke 3, stroke 12. Not 18. Oh, is it? Oh, yeah. Means the year 2012, 18 of March 2012, yeah. Yeah, the sixth. Now we are at lesson 11. So you go back to lesson 6, part 3, then you can find the answer. Then 3.3, third noble truth, second turning. This cessation of dukkha is to be realized. See, the first one, dukkha is to be understood. Second turning of the second noble truth is the cause of arising of suffering, which is craving, is to be abandoned. But the third noble truth, the cessation of dukkha, which is the third noble truth, is to be realized. So the word to be realized is very powerful. That's why the second turning, they got these very specific, important words to guide you to develop the contemplation, the reflection, and the inquiry. So this is how you develop your second turning wisdom. So the first inquiry is, why did the Buddha say that this cessation of dukkha is to be realized? Why is this cessation of dukkha need to be realized? The reason being, so that one does not have to suffer anymore, because according to the Buddha, suffering need not be, and that this cessation of dukkha can be realized in the here and the now, before one dies. The other reason is, the second turning emphasized here, is on the word realization, Because the Dhamma or enlightenment is not a knowledge, but a wisdom which is to be realized or awakened to without thought. So it's not a knowledge where you memorize, cling on to and hold on to as a concept, as an idea. Just like people used to teach and share. He said, cut off craving, let go of craving. Now you go and try. Without wisdom, all this is not possible. Then the second inquiry is, how can I realize the cessation of dukkha or suffering? Realization can only arise if one has trained the mind to have the initial heedfulness and wisdom after overcoming covetousness and greed. This part is very important. To cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness and the Noble Eightfold Path as taught by the Buddha. So this is how you do it, the realization of what they call cessation of suffering. Then finally, the fourth noble truth, second turning. This Noble Eightfold Path that leads to the cessation of dukkha or the end of all suffering is to be cultivated. So this one is the complete opposite of the first noble truth. Second turning of the first noble truth, this noble truth or dukkha is to be understood. But when it comes to Noble Eightfold Path, it is not only to be understood. Understanding that Noble Eightfold Path is not enough. You have to put it into practice. You have to cultivate it. That's why this Noble Eightfold Path that leads to the end of all suffering or cessation of dukkha is to be cultivated. So the inquiry is the same. Why did the Buddha say that? The second turning emphasized on the word to be cultivated instead of only to be understood as per the first noble truth. The reason being, Noble Eightfold Path must be a part of you for you to be able to live it, to be a noble one. Hence, understanding alone, which is knowledge, is not enough. That is, you may understand, but you cannot live it. So the big difference is, if you have cultivated it and it has become a part of your nature, then you can live it because the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path is with you. But if it's only understood and you have not cultivated it, then it's only knowledge. You know, but you cannot live it. Like stock market, very easy to make money. Buy low, sell high. Everybody know. 4-year-old child also know. But how come so many people lost money in the stock market? You mean they don't know how to buy low, sell high? Because they don't know what is low and what is high. They end up buying high, selling low. Out of what? Greed and fear. Market psychology. And what is greed and fear? Evil roots. That's why without understanding, without wisdom, you go and play the stock market, you are going to get into trouble. Because the evil roots that you have not rooted out. Fear and greed will reverse what you do. So out of fear, you will go and panic and sell low. Out of greed, you go and chase after the stock and end up buying high. You don't know the basic fundamental of stock investment. Stock investment is to buy undervalued stock at low price, then sell it when people recognize its value and price. That is how you make the money. It's an investment. Invest into something that has value that people hasn't seen the potential or realized. In fact, nowadays there are many opportunities for you to make your money. If you have the understanding and the wisdom. Actually, it's not easy because you need money, you need capital, you need understanding, you must not have fear and greed. So all this is what is required. But it is not something impossible. I realize quite a lot of people make it. But they make it through mainly learning from other people. Then nowadays they got a lot of this technical chatting, a lot of books or seminars to to teach you how to make money, but you have to be careful. Don't be gullible. Don't end up getting yourself burned. Because greed and fear will fail you. And the other aspect about investment is you must have karmic support. You must have dana parami. If you don't have dana parami or karmic support, you cannot make this type of wealth. This type of wealth won't come to you. Yet there are causes and conditions for things to arise. So you must have good parami. Otherwise, somehow, you will end up getting caught in crisis or during calamities, like now COVID-19. So things will become suddenly reversal and you end up losing your investment because you don't have the karma. Like people used to hear from me, meant to be. If it's yours, it will be yours. If it's not yours, meant to be, it will never be yours. So don't blame anybody. Your karma is very, very sincere, very honest. Karma never lie, never cheat, never deceive. It always act accordingly, following nature's law. If it's meant to be, it will be. So this word meant to be, very deep in its meaning. Meant to be yours, then it will be yours. Not meant to be yours, no matter what you do, it will never be yours. So you can witness them. It's very interesting. You go into life and you have the condition to understand all this and see all this. You will really be amazed by this nature's law. I saw them happening. That's why I used to tell my wife, my daughter, not that you want to help people also cannot, that they don't have the parami. No matter what you do, you're wasting your time. They will act in such a way according to their karma, they get into trouble all the time. Unless they have faith in you, then they decide to change. Okay, the next one is, how can I cultivate it? This Noble Eightfold Path. So to contemplate, reflect, and inquire deep into all the Noble Eightfold Path factors, very important. To develop the understanding first of what they are, as taught by the Buddha. Like for the first path factor, right view or samadhi. What are the three most important right views, as taught by the Buddha? They are the law of karma, the four noble truths, and the law of paticca samuppada. So these three are the spiritual law, karma niyama, citta niyama, and dhamma niyama. So these three right views are most important. So karma niyama is law of karma, and citta niyama is law of paticca samuppada or dependent origination purely. Then law of dhamma, the main one, is four noble truths and its three turning. One also need to train one's mind to be heedful and ever mindful with the right sati and samadhi. To see things as they are, following Dhammapada verse 23, which states that the ever mindful, constantly meditative and the steadfast one will realize the supreme bond-free nibbana. This is Dhammapada verse 23, on what is heedfulness. Then the third turning is always on the realization and enlightenment path. That's why the third turning of the Four Noble Truths all is about enlightenment.